Okay, we have been studying through the book of Revelation. We started with the seven churches. We went through every one of those churches and showed how they relate to various stages of history and church history prior to John when he was writing it, including part of what he was experiencing. And then we went to Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, which related to the rapture, the trumpet, and it relates to the Feast of Trumpets. Every one of the passages that relates to the rapture relates to trumpets. So we went through those stages, and now we're up to chapter 18. Chapter 18 is the final nail in the coffin for Mystery Babylon, and it's going to talk about the physical side of her, not the spiritual side of her, which we talked about last week. But I want to begin with a story, and my wife knows this very well because we experienced it together prior to meeting her and then after meeting her. My friend Abed, Abed Shalalati from Syria. He was kicked out of Syria because he was part of a radical student movement of Islamists during the Assad regime, the original one, not the current one, but his dad. His dad's regime. They would call him King Assad. And so he was kicked out. He became my lab partner in college. In college, yes. And so we studied biology and everything. And he was like, wow, yes, God created. Now, this is after I come to know Jesus. A few months prior, I was an atheist. I wasn't a militant atheist. I liked to surf. I was an atheist who thought the Bible was a bunch of fairy tales. But, you know, I didn't argue with people. I just said, you know, I want to have fun, just surf. Because, I mean, if you're an atheist, really, you don't really care about things because you're just chemicals, right? So you want to enjoy surfing or you want to enjoy life because you're going to die someday. So then I had that dream, showed me that I'm heading toward the lake of fire, and I cry out to Jesus in the dream. I get saved in the dream, wake up, get on my knees, and we've gone over this before, but I got saved, radically saved. The day before, I didn't want to read the Bible. That day, from that point forward, I had this insatiable hunger and desire to read the Bible, to know this Jesus, and to share him, even with my punk buddies that were at college and surfing buddies, and some of them disowned me. But I learned how to share my faith with Muslims, too, and Baha'i, and Hindus, and many others. I was learning apologetics. I was learning history and archaeology, studying Josephus, Tacitus, Pliny the Younger. I was in college, so I mean, you know, all of that stuff was there for me to read. Well, then I started befriending these Muslims, and I'm thinking, this is God's opportunity. God is going to do this through me, you know. But I didn't know anything about Islam, so my lab partner were hooked up to doing lab together, and it's like he's introducing Islam to me because we're dissecting an eye, and as we're dissecting an eye, which is great, you know, it's. My wife loves this stuff. I don't like it. But we're looking at the retina and the cornea and all this stuff. We have to log all this stuff in. And Abed is saying, look at the glorious creation of Allah, you know, and how he did all this. And we studied DNA and we studied all this stuff. And of course, to him, his Allah is the one that created all this. And then, but he's likening it to the biblical God and saying, well, yeah, that's the same biblical God. We love Jesus too. And I'm like, what? So I had to really learn and study. He gave me a Quran. We learned. I got an English Quran, and I studied, and learned a little bit of the hadiths and things like that. And I could tell right off the bat, this is not the God of the Bible. This is a mockery. And this is Satan. You know, one of the names, or two of the names of Allah, of the 99 names of Allah, relate to the most prideful one and the greatest deceiver. Okay, so you have 97 names that kind of sound kind of okay. And many of them, kids are named after. Boys are named after. You know, like Muhammad, etc., Ahmed, whatever. Like Muhammad, Ahmed. But, like Muhammad, Ahmed, Muhammad. But Abed means slave. And Abed means slave of. So in this case, he was a slave of Allah. He was very, very, very much, and his target audience was meek. To convert me. And my target audience was him, to convert him to Christ. So we had these duels and we had these talks. We played racquetball together. We were friends. You know, I mean, it was very cordial. This is like the first time you ever met somebody who he could relate to scientifically and, you know, intellectually and academically, that was on par with him, and could defend Christianity. He had met Christians back in Syria, because at that time Christians were allowed to spread the gospel there. It was kind of restricted, but it wasn't bad. So the reason why I'm getting to this is because after a while, after we got to know each other years later, he came to our wedding, and he was involved in our lives after marriage, and so one day he said, while he was watching the Soviet Union falling all around on TV, he asked me, "Andy, now that the Soviet Union's fallen, and now that these things are happening, who then is the enemy of the United States?" And it wasn't very hard for me to think. I said, "You guys." I said, "You're the next, and you're the last. Because that'll be the last battle, and that's all there is." Now, up to this point, I had been studying Daniel a lot. And it occurred to me, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that it's not Western Rome. Some homosexual guy comes from Western Rome that's going to be the Antichrist. Because of the book of Daniel and Daniel 11, things that we've studied already, it's MENA, Middle East, North Africa. That's the region, that's all the countries, that's all the empires that are mentioned. Over and over again, the seven empires that are mentioned, the seven heads, the seven mountains, the ten horns, the ten toes, all of that relates to the Middle East, and that would surround Israel. So I noted this over and over again, and then it came to the conclusion after Yvette and I, we had talked, and I said, "You know, they behead people, whoever the Antichrist is, they behead people, and all this." And she said, "Well, you know, all right, that sounds like Islam. That sounds like Islam." And then when Abed asked me that question, it all came together right there. Yes, the Antichrist is rising to the Middle East. Now, this is during the time the late great planet Earth was in vogue, and many of those who were saying that the Antichrist was going to rise out of the Western European powers. But once there were 11, 12, 13, 14 members of the EU, that theory was destroyed. But I knew it. You see, I knew it ahead of time. And I've been telling people, and everybody poo-pooed me. And so I'm a voice crying in the wilderness. This is not to build me up. This is just something that God showed me because of my interactions with people and actually reading the Bible. Daniel is the key to unlock the book of Revelation. So this leads us up to Babylon. Babylon, last week we talked about the spiritual aspect of who she is. And through the ages, starting with Nimrod, all the way through to where she sits last, she's a prostitute. So she moves around a lot. Who's the highest bidder? And that's what she does. She moves around. She's moved to many empires. And her final resting place, as you'll see, is where we go to today. And I want to tell you that story because it's true. That the final battles will be against the Islam Empire, the Islamic Empire. That fatally wounded head, which was fatally wounded, has resurrected. Now, it's undeniable now. Preachers who used to preach via the rising of the Antichrist coming from the Western Roman Empire, which is Western Europe, have shifted now to looking at the rise from the ashes of the Empire of Islam. And you can see it as if it was a dead head. It is rising all over the world. Islam is rising everywhere. And I knew this was happening over 25 years ago. So you'll see the pictures that are on here. You'll see the center is a woman with a gold cup riding the beast. Okay, that's Revelation chapter 17, but also 18. And the beast, of course, is the Antichrist Empire, but going back to Nimrod, she's been riding this beast for thousands of years. And the other pictures are in Mecca. And that's the clock tower of Mecca. And notice the symbol on top. You see the symbol. These are lightning bolts that was caught during a storm in which about 300 people died because the cranes owned by the Bin Laden family were struck by these lightning bolts and fell over on all these people and on 9/11/2015, 1 year ago. So the destruction that's mentioned in the end of 16, chapter 16, which is the seventh bowl of wrath, which is focused on Babylon, to destroy her with natural disasters, with hail, lightning, earthquake, and all that. It doesn't take much to destroy a little there. Any city is very fragile, but the focus here is this. Notice how this looks like a step pyramid, like the ziggurat that the they found over in the Middle East, the step that goes up this in the tower, that's like the Tower of Babel. And I'm going to endeavor today to show you a little bit of how she relates to Mecca and how Mecca relates to Babylon. If you'll see here, there's that image over the Grand Mosque. Notice the tower and then the crescent moon symbol over. You see the crescent moon everywhere over mosque. But you'll see also the crescent moon and star. Crescent moon and star go back to ancient Babylon, and that's from ancient Sumer, from which Abraham came out of Ur of the Chaldees, etc. And you see this all over it. Look at, today happens to be the third day of the Hajj, or the second day of the Hajj, which is the pilgrimage. That's why 9/11 occurred, which is the pilgrimage to Mecca that Islamic people are asked to at least once in their life to go the pilgrimage there and go around the Kaaba, which has the black rock in it. And they bow down to it, kiss it, and it absolves them of all their sins. The Antichrist isn't just against Christ. The word in the Greek is also instead of Christ. It's a replacement. So they can have their sins forgiven by doing this. See, they don't need Christ on the cross. They reject Christ. It's the only religion after Christ that is codified to be against Christ and against the Jews. And they have done that with the sword. So notice the symbology here that is everywhere. And then the crescent moon and star was used in Baal worship. Now, Baal, Ashtoreth, Tammuz, is the same gods that we see down in Egypt. We see Osiris, Isis, and Horus. We see those same ones all over because the Tower of Babel occurred. And when they left after the worship of Nimrod and his wife and his son. When they left, they took that and just changed the name to Correct the Innocent within those various language groups. And all the people groups around the world, they build those pyramids. They build those big, tall towers. They do that. And so do we. It all relates to a religio-political economic system. And that's what Islam is today. It's still that. So you can see how they have, on the pedestal, they'll have a crescent moon or a star or the sun. Sun, moon, and stars. Do not worship the host, the sun, moon, and the stars, God says. And look what they do. So you know this is not Yahweh God, the God of the Bible, the great I am. This is a counterfeit. And Satan always uses a counterfeit. So here are some other things. Now notice these people celebrating near their mosque, and what do they have? Crescent balloons. See, the crescent is their symbol. The crescent is a symbol, and the crescent moon with the star or the sun all relates to telling you who they are worshiping. And it all goes back to the root of Babylon. All of this is Babylonian worship. Now this is an interesting thing. Isaiah 14:12 says how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. Or in another version it says how you have fallen from heaven, morning star, son of the dawn. The word for Lucifer is, or it was Hillel, and Ben Shahar, which is like son of the morning, son of the dawn. Hillel relates to crescent moon. And Shahar relates to the morning star, or the morning rising. Morning. So it has to do with that specific symbol. So it isn't talking about Satan himself per se. It's talking about the Antichrist who will be coming. And it's amazing how this has all been here for ages. And now, because it's toward the end, just like Daniel in the book of Daniel says, seal up this book until the time of the end. That means that you get closer to the time of the end, it's unsealed. And now the keys are there for us to unlock passages to see what's going on. It's interesting how halal food relates to the word halal, which is the Islamic way of doing the meat. So I just want you to see the connections here. How this isn't just some theory. In fact, in the 3rd or 4th century, the church was waiting for something like this. And once Muhammad came along, they looked at Muhammad and they thought of him as the Antichrist. The Antichrist will be of this religion. They wrote extensively about it and tried to be apologists to those people who are caught in that cult that they call it. Now, it's interesting that the Roman Catholic Church be doing this, But anyway. Here's another picture. Notice this mosque. It's like the sun. And then notice the crescent moon and then the star. See, mosques are temples to worship the host of heaven. Yeah, amazing. And this over there is the Ottoman Empire, kind of a banner that relates to the Ottoman Empire. And then the Neo-Ottoman Empire, which is seeking to rise from the ashes. That organization is using a similar kind of logo. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. So while we look at this city called Mecca, we're looking at chapter 18 today. The reason why is because it relates to the city, the great city. You see, even though she has a spiritual influence and her tentacles are everywhere, Babylon, all false religions, etc., there's a seat that is where she sits as queen. And so we're looking at, isn't it beautiful? Isn't it beautiful with all the colored lights and everything? I mean, it's dazzling. And people are seduced by her. Seduced. People of almost every nation is a part of Islam today. And that's the Kaaba, and on the corner over there, she lifts up her skirt, and that's where the black rock is. And we talked about how that relates to sexual immorality. So we see the masses coming there. And this is spiritual adultery. She is the harlot, and this is her final resting place. She thinks she's sitting as a queen. This is part of the downtown as you go out toward Jeddah, which is the port. She is the desert city by the sea, Isaiah 21. Fallen, fallen, Babylon. And there again, the desert city of almost 2 million people. It's a lot. It's the great city. Out in the middle of nowhere, really. But it is near the coast. And this is, it's about 20 miles, and Jeddah is her port. Okay, and I look at it in reference to where she is with the Red Sea. This is just from Google Earth. And then look at her reference to Israel. And you can see behind, it's a valley that goes up for about 200 miles. Remember we talked about that. The blood of the slain will be 200 miles and up to a horse's bridle. It talks about it being outside of the city, the great city, not Jezreel. There's no great city up in Jezreel, desert by the sea. This is the one because previous in that chapter, chapter 14, Babylon is mentioned. So I want to show you this because this relates to the passage we're going to look at today. After I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory, and he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great." Remember Isaiah 21. That's a reference to that. She has become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean and detestable beast. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living. Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people." Notice how God is always seeking to call people out. "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back, as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed, as she glorified herself." And that goes back to the Tower of Babylon. Tower of Babel. "Let's make a name for ourselves," they said, "and live in luxury. So give her a like measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, 'I sit as queen. I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning." You have to be able to see it. "They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city, Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.'" Think about what can destroy a great city in a single hour.
And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys her cargo anymore. Remember, Jeddah was a port. Cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, and all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle, sheep, horses, chariots, and slaves. That is, human souls or human lives. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and your splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of the wares who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet, adorned with gold and jewels and with pearls. For in a single hour all this wealth has been laid waste, and all the shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and all who trade is on the sea, stood afar off and cried out as they saw the smoke of her mourning or burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, alas, alas for the great city, where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. So you see, this is a horrible kind of mourning. They saw this. They have to see it from the sea. See? Rejoice over her, O heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her. That is, because of all that Babylon, the system since Nimrod, has done against God's people, has all laid at her feet. Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of harpists and musicians, of flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of the lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, the holy ones of God, and of all who have been slain on the earth. So God is laying at her feet the indictment, and that she will receive her judgment. Now we know from previous chapters that God puts in the heart of the Antichrist and those 10 kings that they're also going to kill her and slay her. So it's a combination, and we'll talk about that a little more. So here are some things to think about, to look over. That she is represented by a city. Now, everywhere she's gone, she's been represented by a city. But her influence is transcultural. That is, her influence is all over the world. But she has a seat. Now, when I say she, I'll talk a little bit about that, similar to how we talked about the church being she, or a nation being she, or Israel being a she. And the angel with great authority produces or pronounced the final judgment. Fallen is Babylon the Great. If you read Isaiah 21, you'll see that same diatribe, that same pronouncement of judgment. But it is future, because it mentions Arabia, it mentions Teman, it mentions other areas that can only be found in the Saudi Arabian Peninsula. So you know that Isaiah 21 is being echoed here, but it's being summed here. Like we said, the book of Revelation is God's final summation of every book from Genesis through Jude. And we see the final summation of everything God had said prior is coming to pass. So when a certain phrase is mentioned, it should trigger us to go, hey, let's go look back and see how Scripture interprets Scripture. And then when you look at the overall of Isaiah 21, Isaiah 63, which relates to the winepress of God's wrath, it relates to the area of Saudi Arabia.
which is amazing. Because a lot of people think it relates to something else. I don't know how you allegorize some of the cities and locations. It's hard to do that. So this is definitely showing that Revelation 17 and 18 is a summation of where her last resting place will be, her final place of power. And I said this. If I was, let's say, in the 1400s, right outside of the Vatican, and I was preaching and saying that the Pope is the Antichrist, and this is the spirit of Babylon, and this is Babylon, I'd be executed. See, that's how you know where she's sitting. Because you can't speak out against her. But I could go there today, and they would laugh at me, but it would have no effect. But if I did that outside of the Grand Mosque today, where she sits, I would be executed. See, in every place that she lived, wherever that was, you know she was there because you can't speak out against her. Because there are consequences. She'll talk about freedom. But really, it's bondage. So the question always comes to mind here is this fantasy? Or can I really trust the Bible? See, this goes to this. Is the Bible trustworthy? Has God said in the past, and those things being fulfilled, then we look to the future about things that haven't been fulfilled yet. We have a guarantee that he will do it. And to clarify, God has given us clarification in the Old Testament. What nations he's talking about, what people groups, what empires, they're all there. So when the book of Revelation points to those things, we go back to and connect. And once we do, we find this picture. It's like a puzzle pieces. And then we start putting it together. We don't even have the lid of the puzzle box. All we have is the puzzle pieces. And we have to work together to put the picture together. And that's what we're doing. And the book of Revelation is the summation. That is the last pieces of that puzzle. So these nations have something in common. These nations have something in common today. They are all Islamic. Now, years ago in the 1800s, when they were reading this, they were calling it an Islamic nation. The Ottoman Empire was dying. It was, you know, as you get toward the 1900s, so they had to allegorize it. And then when Hitler rose, they thought, well, Hitler's it. But does he cover something with his headquarters, a desert by the sea? Mm-hmm. Would it be called Arabia? Would the Arabian pitch his tent there? No. But the Arabian does pitch his tent right next to Mecca when they go to the Hajj. I mean, it's a no-brainer. People thought it was Rome. I know, I stand with the Protestants and say that spiritually, she is like Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church, and for many, many years. And that's why they protested against her paganism and abuse and her inclusion of paganism and idolatry. We talked about that in seven churches, Pergamum, Thyatira, and Sardis. So we see her influence, but where does she sit? Where is her final resting place? And we see it has to be Mecca. At least in my estimation, it has to be Mecca. A place of demons, evil spirits. So he really is telling us all the pagan religions are demonic. It's either Yahweh God, it's like either Jerusalem or Babylon, the two cities, the tale of two cities. The Bible is the tale of two cities. So you have the system of Babylon, which is the worldly system. But it isn't just worldly. It's instead of. It's always instead of. You find your hope in something else. You find your redemption in something else. It's always something else instead of. And there are tantalizing toys. There are things there that Satan will use to keep you interested and addicted and in bondage. Whereas in Jerusalem, she ain't perfect, but she's redemptive. That is, she's redeemable. If you're in this system, come out of her, my people, before it's too late, because you'll be consumed. You're still stuck there. So we see that she's moved, like we've talked about. She went from Nimrod, Tower of Babel incident, God intervened. Then she picked up her bag, went to Egypt, and then went to the Assyrian Empire. And then she moved over to back to Babylon again, under Nebuchadnezzar. And then she moved over to Medo-Persia. Hey, Cyrus the Great, he's great, so I'll be under him. And then went from that to Alexander the Great. And that Grecian Empire stretched from Turkey all the way to India. And all the Stan countries, anything that ends with the word Stan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, all the way down to North Africa, and you see that's the swath. It was not European. The Grecian Empire, that which looks like a leopard, it was huge. And where did he die? In Babylon. So the seat of her power during that time was in Babylon. Alexander the Great died in Babylon.
And what is he, 36? Like, all these empires. Amazing. You talk about a CEO, you know. But that's how you know he was demonically controlled. The behind the scenes, the pulling the cords there. And right after that was Rome. Because we know when John wrote, five have fallen. One is. Well, when John was writing, it was Rome. So we know it can't be a resurrection of Rome because one is, but one is yet to come. And we know the Muslim Empire grew and came and took over all that empire area. Took over Byzantium, the Byzantine Empire, which is the last vestiges of Rome, and continued. And so where was her seat at that point? Well, she moved to Mecca. And she's been there ever since. She has a good deal there going on. People come down there and worship her. Now, what's interesting is she lives in a lap of luxury. She is full of prideful arrogance. And it says she glorified herself and lived in luxury. So give her in like measure torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see. She suffers God's wrath because of this. Babylon is the organized human fusion of demonic human fusion. Just like the church is the organized living organism of Jesus Christ, his spirit, and human. That is a mimic. Just like the body of Christ is the wife of Christ, the bride of Christ. So Babylon is the bride of Satan. You see? So anything that Satan does is always a mimic or a counterfeit of what God has already done. But I want you to see the arrogance, the flaunting of the arrogance that they do in Saudi Arabia. Petrodollars have really gotten them where they're at today. And I'm sure Satan has allowed this and made this happen, of course, because he's behind it. But look at this. These are gold-clad cars. The opulence. Look at all the gold. This is inside one of the jets. Gold line, gold everything. And there's Paris Hilton. She has railed against anybody who's against LGBT. She has railed against anybody who would, you know, be against certain kinds of things. Here in America, especially against Christians, but what is she doing? She's sitting next there with one of the Saudi princes because she is opening one of her stores at this picture. There in Mecca, a fashion store in Mecca. She is one of those merchants that's getting rich off of Mecca that we read in the Bible here. That they're getting rich. They are prostituting themselves, turning a blind eye, and allowing all of the crimes of Saudi Arabia to continue because of the petrodollars, but not only the petrodollars, the money that comes out the other end, because they can sell stuff to them. And guess what? Saudi Arabia buys them. And Mecca especially. You would think it's a holy city. We talked about a holy city here. You know, that is a very much unholy city. They look like out in front that they're all this holiness, you know, but behind the scenes under closed doors, it's wickedness, and they are the highest consumer of porn, snuff films, and slavery and sex trafficking in the world. It's there. They have some of the highest crimes against humanity for this. So Babylon represents the religious and economic side of the demonic system since Nimrod. Okay, remember we talked about it's religio, political, economic, because Satan wants to control every aspect of our lives. Satan wants to intimidate the lost and intimidate anybody into fear and bondage and addiction, into whatever those realms are, religious, political, and economic. Well, I can't do this because I don't have enough money, so I better do this. You know what I mean? All of these kinds of things seem to restrict people. They think they have freedom, but they don't. It's an illusion. And the Antichrist himself represents the political and economic side of things. So the Antichrist is the political figurehead, and the false prophet is the religious side of things, but they both deal with economy. The false prophet is the one who gives the mark of the beast and forces people to have the mark of the beast so they can't buy or sell. So they have to worship the beast, the dragon, and his name. Okay? But this has been this way since Nimrod. You've had this dichotomy. but a marriage, unholy marriage behind the scenes of it. Does it make sense? So it's continued. Well, they have this luxury. This system is pretty good for those who go headlong into it. Do you hear me? If you go headlong into this and you give full allegiance to this system, you will be rewarded. Satan says so. Now, you might get thrown under the bus if you're not useful anymore. But until that time, you get to enjoy this luxury. And so again, we look at this system that has caused the nations to be drunk with the wine of her excess, the wine of her oil, but the wine of her prostitution. It's like, I'm going to turn a blind eye. I am going to turn a blind eye to this. I'm going to enjoy this. And so it has seduced the nations. The nations know that what they're doing is wrong. But we like their money. We love their money. So again, here's that picture again. But I want to show you another side of it. Saudi diplomat accused of using two Nepalese women as sex slaves. Now understand, now I want you to see these sex slaves have chains. They're chained. These are quote-unquote secret pictures that got out of Saudi Arabia. They're doing this now. This is not, hundreds of years ago. This is current now. The abuse that is going on here is horrible of what's going on. And this is sanctioned, all of this is sanctioned by Islam. There are human rights advocates around the world that have lawsuits, that have all kinds of petitions before the UN. How Saudi Arabia got on to the Human Rights Council and Iran and some of these Muslim countries got on there, I have no idea. But you understand what's going on. They're being seduced, prostituted, and this is what's happening. You turn a blind eye. If I pay you enough money, if I give you enough luxury, will you turn a blind eye? If I give you cheaper oil, will you turn a blind eye? Because we enjoy this. And that's Mystery Babylon. You see, what we see in the Bible is actually now taking place. Mystery Babylon's been around a long time, but her sins will come to a full head. Just like a sickness will come to a full head before the immunity of your body kicks in and destroys it. That's exactly what we see in the book of Revelation. God is going to allow it to come to a head. God is going to allow it to look like it's winning. And then sudden destruction. Sudden destruction. Sex slave. But notice everybody's shaking their hands. Notice everybody. Every one of those countries. Britain, Turkey. Turkey's really inclusion now. What we've done. And our nation. Boy, oh boy. The nations have prostituted themselves and been seduced, it says, by her sorceries and been deceived. But their eyes are wide open. They know this. You should see our own State Department's list of the human rights infraction of Saudi Arabia. Piles. Iran, too. They're just two sides of the same coin. Iran or Saudi Arabia. ISIS is this free radical out there, but, it's actually seen normally every day in Saudi Arabia and Iran. That which they're doing, the atrocities, are already happening there. We're just seeing it in ISIS because it's kind of like it's got out. It's like the redheaded stepchild got out, And so we're seeing this system that turns a blind eye. Turning a blind eye. But God is going to make sure someday that those who turn a blind eye will see her destruction. And it will affect them. It will affect them. Because it's all part of God's cleanup operation before Jesus comes back to rule upon the throne of David in Jerusalem. And when he comes back, he will have conquered all the enemies. And remember, folks, we are also coming down on those forces. We're a part of that victory. We're a part of that. What do you think we're going to be doing for 7 years in heaven? Just think about it. It's not all fun and games and an awards banquet, because we're getting our rewards, right? Rewards for being faithful. Well done, good faithful servant. Notice what this Islamic scholar says. Slavery is part of Islam. Slavery is a part of jihad. Jihad will remain as long as there is Islam. Those who argue that slavery has been abolished are ignorant, not scholars. They are merely writers. Whoever says such things is an infidel. This is official policy of Islam, whether it's Shia or Sunni or Alawite, or any other faction. So, folks who are African American, who want to become part of Islam, they ought to know their history. The folks who enslaved them the most wasn't the white people from the West. It was Islamic Arabs who did this. And they did sell them to the West. But the ones who enslaved them were those under Islam. It's sad. Isaiah 21 rehearses over and over again, fallen, fallen, Babylon, calls her a desert by the sea. And so we just saw Mecca is about 20 miles inland. But if some kind of a fire arose there, you would see the smoke of her torment if you're one of those ships pulling into port. Think how you would feel if you're part of that company that is bringing in all that cargo, and they're going to, hey, who's going to fire stuff now? There's going to be huge economic hit from this. And this is later. This is toward the end of the Great Tribulation, just before Armageddon. So this is part of this, is the end. Remember, every step of the way, the Antichrist thinks his kingdom and empire is growing, while Satan is undermining every point through sickness, through all those bowls of wrath. And he's causing the crumbling from underneath so the whole thing falls. This is the last piece, the religious side of it. This is the last piece. It is God's specific strategy of destroying every vestige of the Antichrist. So when Jesus comes back, there is no one to be against him, because he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. So this is all about vengeance. This is all about vengeance against everything that is Babylon. The spirit of the Antichrist, the spirit of Babylon, are always together throughout history. And we know they will come as the Antichrist and the false prophet over those systems. That's going to be the physical reality of this as it comes to a head. But God will use not only real physical disasters, lightning, thunderstorm, earthquake, hail, as we saw at the end of chapter 16, but also he's going to put into the mind of the Antichrist and the false prophet and the ten kings, hey, let's throw these guys under the bus now. We have used them to launch us into our career. Now let's throw them under the bus. God is going to use infighting to destroy. Now we've seen Muslim infighting all the time throughout history, right? So this is a no-brainer. God's just going to add fuel to the fire as they put kerosene on it. The merchants of the sea, all these folks. Now, is it going to be nuclear? I don't know. Read Isaiah 21, and it's interesting how Elam and Medo-Persia, or Medes, they get together and they destroy it, but it has to do with the end time. Now think of who they are today, from Turkey to Persia. So you have the Turks and the Persians and the Kurds all getting together, forming an alliance, because in the past they did, and they did go down to Mecca, and they did in the past go and steal the Black Rock and take it back. But this year is very, very interesting. Iran made this edict that if you're a Shia in Iran, which is basically Iran, you are not allowed to go to Mecca this year. And this is in Tehran. Death to Saudi Arabia. Now, try to figure this out. Aren't they Islamic? Aren't they supposed to go once a year? Or not once a year, once in a lifetime? But this is the first time they've done this. They said this last year and then this year. They've said this a couple times. Look, we don't want you to go down to Mecca. There's this rift going on between them. Okay? But I want to show you something else, very interesting. ISIS, just recently, the leader of ISIS said this: we're going to down to Mecca, and we're going to steal the Black Rock, and we're going to take it. Now, that's Sunni. You got Sunni and Shia against Mecca. So it isn't a big deal to even think that they could get together, all of them, align themselves together and go against Mecca and burn her, destroy her. So I'm just saying, just from the own news reels, they are already ready for this. They're ready to storm Mecca and destroy it. Now, One of these pictures is kind of one of those funny things that they have on Facebook, like before and after. You know, they show the Kaaba, and then afterwards they show that big crater in Arizona. You know, they say problem solved. But it does say they're going to burn her with fire, and it says in 1 hour she'll be destroyed. And I think of Hiroshima, Nagasaki. That was the last time a nation used nuclear against another nation. On Iran's hit list, it isn't Israel first. Their first hit with nuclear power, once they get it, and they will, and our own administration currently today has helped them over these years. And it is part of prophecy. Doesn't mean it has to be, but God knew it. Does that make sense? So it's all going to happen. Now, is it nuclear? I kind of think it is. So God's going to hit that town with a tremendous, horrible thunderstorm, lightning, and hail. And an earthquake splits it into three. It says so. And then they get nuked. And then we come with Jesus, and we finish off the rest of the army that was down there that isn't in Armageddon, because there's two fronts. And then that will have the blood as high as a horse's bridle. That's pretty high. That's one of those little meanings. And 200 miles long. And there is a valley right there. And it's, you know, that's going to be part of that. And then we go up to Armageddon and finish off the rest of the Antichrist army. So that's kind of what the view is here. Here's another one. Now, this is from an Iranian website. This is an Iranian website explaining what they plan to do to Mecca. And this is Mecca. I'm telling you, this isn't from me. This is from them. And you can make this up. The Iranians are getting ready to hit their number one first. Their number one is Mecca. Because when the Mahdi rises, according to their religion, which is our Antichrist, but their Mahdi comes up out of the pit. It's like the beast who comes up out of the pit, comes up in the cave and home Iran. He will go and destroy Mecca and then go up and claim Jerusalem his own and put the image of Islam there on the Temple Mount. Does that sound like anything you've heard before? Interesting. How their end times prophecy stuff fits. Exactly. Except it's opposite. Their kind of Messiah is our Antichrist. Their Jesus is our false prophet. Their Isa. And so if you look at history, you'll see this, and it's great to know these facts. Look, great to know these facts. The reason why we look at these facts, we look at prophecy and history, is to give us a foundation of confidence. We know beyond a shadow of a doubt God is real. God is true. But what's the message there? It says, come out of her, my people. Why does he mention that? Are there anybody left? Is there anybody left to repent? Says there's nobody left on the earth to repent. So what is he talking about there? Well, he's talking about the system of Babylon up to that point. If you're caught in that system of Babylon, you've been warned now. You've been warned all the way through history. All the way through history, she wound her way through. If you're still caught up in Babylon, come out of her. Come out of her, my people. Anybody can hear the voice of God, come out of her. Because that's what the church is supposed to do before this rises. Before it rises, we are to call people to repentance. We are called to call people out, because the lake of fire, and they're going to have fire and judgment. If they're caught in that and have allegiance to it, if they take the mark of the beast, they cannot repent, and they will end up in the lake of fire. All of these are warning, 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 warning. That doesn't sound like a blessing to me. I mean, Revelation 1:3 says, if you read this and obey it, you'll have this blessing from God. And I'm looking at this, how is that a blessing? Well, here's the blessing. It's to encourage the church, the body of Christ, to encourage the body of Christ, to call people into repentance. The time is short. We see Islam rising all around. Israel is back in her land. Everything is ready. We're just waiting for the trigger to be pulled. And so we only have a short time left. Jesus opened up his ministry. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe and trust in the gospel of good news. That he is the good news. It's not just a message. It's not a concept. When we come to Jesus, we come to Jesus. And when we receive Jesus, we receive Jesus. He is our eternal life. He is our everything. He is the reason for our living. He should be anyway. Amen? So that is our call, to call people unto repentance. We need a church that is calling people